On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Welcome, Namibia, and a warm welcome to another episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and alongside myself,
Sean Jordan Twisip.
And we'll be keeping you company until 14:30 today. It's the 18th of June 2025, and we have a packed and informative lineup for you today. So, covering all the latest news that's making waves both within Namibia and beyond our borders, from the latest social developments to key economic updates, we've got it all right here on the Radar. So stay with us throughout the bulletin as we dive into some exciting and important stories. And remember, this is your platform too. We want to hear from you, so don't just sit back and listen. Call in at 083-288-401 and share your thoughts. Your input is invaluable, and we want you to be part of the conversation. So stay tuned. On the Radar is bringing you the news that matters. And now for the news. From the 18th to the 20th of June 2025, Windhoek is playing host to the inaugural Commonwealth Business Summit, also known as CBS 2025. This marks a historic moment, not just for Namibia, but for the entire Commonwealth, as it is the first time that the Commonwealth Business Summit and the Commonwealth Trade Ministers Meeting are being held outside London, where the Commonwealth Secretariat is based. Namibia becomes the first country on the African continent to take on this honor, highlighting its growing role in global trade and diplomacy. The summit is jointly hosted by the government of Namibia and brings together a dynamic mix of business leaders, policymakers, trade experts, and development partners from across the 56 Commonwealth member countries, with a focus on creating practical pathways for economic collaboration. The summit is expected to spark key conversations around trade and investment opportunities, digital transformation, and resilient supply chains, particularly in the context of a capacity evolving global economy. Now, speaking at the summit is the Minister of International Relations and Trade in Namibia, Selma Ashipala Musavi, who urged Africa to focus on partnership in a renewed Commonwealth whilst strengthening intra-Commonwealth trade. Let's take a listen.
Trade Ministers Meeting. I am informed that it is the first time ever that the meeting of the Commonwealth Ministers of Trade is being held not only outside London, but outside the United Kingdom. Therefore, with a sense of pride and a hand of friendship, on behalf of the government and people of the Republic of Namibia, I warmly welcome you all, particularly those who come from afar. First, to Namibia, and to Windhoek in particular. And secondly, to the first Commonwealth Business Summit. I also give a special welcome to our Secretary General, Dr. Shirley Ajoko Botchwe, a daughter of the African soil, and congratulations on assuming this office. Ladies and gentlemen, granted, we are meeting here to work towards the good of growing trade between ourselves to reach the target we have set ourselves of $2 trillion by 2030. However, as we gather here from across the Commonwealth, it is our common goal of building our resilience through unlocking investment opportunities, strengthening partnership, and charting a more inclusive and resilient path for trade and investment within our Commonwealth family that unites us. This inaugural business summit allows us to emphasize the spirit of Ubuntu, humanity towards others, a value that in Namibia is deeply lived. Let us build upon that same spirit as this business summit, while being focused on investment promotion to grow visionary and mutually beneficial partnerships and advance our shared common values and goals to forge meaningful linkages between governments and businesses, policy and practice, and aspiration and implementation. Ladies and gentlemen, Namibia, like the rest of the Commonwealth, is blessed with opportunities. Member countries in our Commonwealth family are richly endowed with natural resources and a wealth of young people with skills and knowledge, ready to contribute to the global economy. Our task is to facilitate the unlocking of this potential through collaboration and partnerships across our borders. Indeed, our Commonwealth and heritage, underpinned by our 56th member, comprised of 2.7 billion people, or a third of the global population. I believe that the Commonwealth can harness the vision of promoting local production and intra-Commonwealth trade through building a unique platform that aligns our aspirations to address youth unemployment, build resilient value chains, embrace the green and digital economies, and reduce dependence on extractive industries. Taking place at a time of global uncertainty, shaped by rising geopolitical tensions, climate threats, trade disruptions, food insecurity, and widening economic disparities, we must focus on building resilience, the theme launched at the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Samoa last year. Most of us here represent developing and smaller economies under great economic and climatic pressures. We need to build a transformational agenda that brings prosperity to our small and medium, to our small and medium enterprises, women-led businesses, digital innovators, and local manufacturers. I am delighted that the Business Summit places SMEs, women entrepreneurs, digital trade, and climate-conscious supply chains at the center of our dialogue. Themes that resonate with Namibia's own national priorities and reflect the kind of leadership that will define the next chapter of global inclusive and digital integrated trade. Honorable ministers, distinguished business leaders, ladies and gentlemen, your engagement this week will allow you to learn about Namibia's investment opportunities across various sectors, such as energy, infrastructure, transportation, mining, blue economy, tourism, agriculture, sustainable supply chains, and logistics, as well as digital innovation. I encourage you to engage openly, explore opportunities, and partner with us to unlock the full potential of these sectors. Namibia is ready to support our Commonwealth family in our joint business journey. Namibia offers a stable policy environment, investment support mechanisms, and a youthful and trainable workforce. Please engage with our institutions, such as the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, the Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and the Namibian Local Business Association, who are well positioned to facilitate investment and business collaboration. I'm pleased to note that the Secretary General of the African Continental Free Trade Area Secretariat has made the time to be part of the Commonwealth Business Summit and be able to provide the status of the African Continental Free Trade Area. We commend the progress that has been made regarding the continental integration agenda. It is important that Africa increases intra-African trade, industrialize Africa, and able to attract investment in the continent. I urge the Commonwealth member states to support the efforts of the AFCFTA integration process. I also urge you all to focus on concretized partnerships, bankable ideas, and a renewed commitment to building a Commonwealth that is connected by history and unified in shared economic prosperity. May this business summit mark the beginning of a new friendship, new ventures, a new hope for our people. Let us navigate the future together, boldly, inclusively, and sustainably. It is now my distinct honor, on behalf of the Government of the Republic of Namibia, to declare the Commonwealth Business Summit officially open.
Similarly, during her keynote address, Shirley Botchwell, the Commonwealth Secretary General, indicated at the Commonwealth Business Summit that the Commonwealth has to leverage its size in order to strengthen the various commonalities between each other. The summit is taking place for the first time outside of the United Kingdom. Botchwell emphasized that the future is about harnessing the various developments that are being observed in the world. Let's take a listen to her.
Into real trade opportunities. We have the fundamentals, a market of 2.7 billion people, shared language, legal systems, and deep trust, a 21% average cost saving on intra-Commonwealth trade. But we also have something more important, a shared belief that trade and investment should deliver prosperity for everyone across all 56 of our member states, from the largest economies to the smallest islands, from cities to rural communities. That is why I have placed trade, finance, and economic resilience at the heart of the Commonwealth's new strategic plan. And that is why this business summit matters so much. Because in a world that is fragmenting economically, politically, and technologically, the Commonwealth, by conviction and choice, has decided to be the place for connection, partnership, and shared prosperity. Friends, if we want to harness Commonwealth trade for shared prosperity, we need to focus on three imperatives. One, inclusion. Trade must work for all, not just somewhat for big companies in major markets, not just for a small segment of a potential Commonwealth market of 2.7 billion people. That means SMMEs, which make up over 80% of businesses across the Commonwealth, must have access to finance, regulatory support, and market intelligence. It means putting women entrepreneurs and young people at the center of our trade strategy. Namibia's example with strong female leadership across government and industry is an inspiration. And it means supporting small states and least developed countries to integrate more fully into global markets. This summit's sessions on gender, digital access, and trade facilitation will tackle these issues head on. Two, innovation. The future of trade is digital. Paperless systems, e-commerce platforms, and data-driven supply chains are no longer optional. They are essential. We need legal and regulatory frameworks that keep pace. The Commonwealth Secretariat is already helping member countries adapt laws, build capacity, and close connectivity gaps, especially for digital agriculture, blue economy sectors, and cross-border data flows. We are also promoting digital public infrastructure that can transform access for entrepreneurs and governments alike. Three, investment. Trade cannot thrive without capital and infrastructure. We need stronger pipelines for blended finance and greater support from development banks. We must unlock investment into sectors where the Commonwealth has a clear edge. Renewable energy, agriculture and agri-tech, digital infrastructure, critical minerals, transport and logistics. In 2022, intra-Commonwealth FDI reached US$172 billion, more than four times its 2015 level. Let's build on that momentum and make the Commonwealth the world's most investable market network. Friends, this summit is not about platitudes or rhetoric. It's about partnerships, pipelines, and progress. From AfCFTA integration to SME growth, from food systems to climate smart trade, these discussions will shape real outcomes. The Secretariat is working with countries across the Commonwealth to improve business environments, to strengthen trade policy, to expand regional value chains, and to help countries get deals done. This is a platform for action. And you, the business leaders, investors, and entrepreneurs are at the center of it. The Commonwealth is a living system. It must be the network of trust, the driver of opportunity, and the home for ambition. Where global trade stumbles, we must lead. Where others close doors, we must open them. When others speak of risk, we must speak of possibility. Our goal of $2 trillion United States dollars in intra-Commonwealth trade by 2030 is ambitious but can be achieved. To reach it, we need to build confidence. We need to break down barriers and bring new actors into the conversation. At the trade ministers' meeting, we will challenge our leaders to expedite their ambitious industrialization agendas in order to expand consumer markets across the Commonwealth. That is the pathway to our shared prosperity. So let this summit be a launch pad for bold ideas, for practical solutions, and for meaningful investment that transforms lives. I hope we leave here not just with declarations, but with deals. And not just with good intentions, but with a shared agenda for inclusive, innovative, and investable growth. Thank you. Colleagues, friends, let's get to work.
And now we are joined by my colleague, Dwight. Dwight, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Happy?
I'm well, thank you.
And good afternoon to the listeners, obviously on this Wednesday program of On the Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, Dwight, the Commonwealth Business Summit and Trade Ministers meeting is taking place from sort of like since 2 days ago, but officially sort of like today. So, Dwight, what are the main themes here and what are they looking into? What can we expect for all those days up until the 20th?
Okay, thank you very much, Happy. And the important thing to identify from this is, Happy, that it's a correct thing that you actually started in terms of the actual time frame of this engagement, because Just to give you a little bit of insight, back on Monday when I went to go collect the media accreditation,
mm-hmm.
The dignitaries, that includes obviously the ministers and the attending business executives from across more than 50 countries, they were already like in pre-summit engagements. So technically, you know, they were already deliberating on certain particular aspects before they actually opened up for the rest of the country. That's not for us, and the rest of the world to see this particular engagement regarding, you know, actually what, you know, what this Commonwealth Business Summit is all about.
Mm.
That then leads into the second part of the question that you asked. What are we looking into? Now, just for today, they are looking at the future of Commonwealth trade. So in essence, Happy, this translates to the major themes that have been persisting since 2021. That's not from an AU level, from a UN level, even from a SADC level. This has been about how to better improve or integrate trade between various zones. Now, the Commonwealth is a lot larger than SADC or even than AU, because, yes, you do find a lot of Commonwealth members on the African continent, but the Commonwealth is also includes countries like India. It also includes countries like China. Well, not to say specifically that China is part of the Commonwealth, but just to highlight to you that many countries from the Commonwealth actually do trade with China. And then you've also got many countries on the Commonwealth that actually trade between each other. And I'm talking about specifically like SADC that trades with each other in that more micro scenario. It then shifts into another particular gear, because the question of the what is the future of the Commonwealth trade, this has been the major discussion today regarding, you know, what they are looking at. And all of this has centered upon three particular zones, Happy. This has been about how to roll out the increased adoption of digitalization, specifically in trade, the increased connectivity of markets to each other, as well as also to, you know, bridge certain particular gaps between these Commonwealth countries, because most of them are developing countries.
Mm-hmm. So Dwight, what is the itinerary for the next, how many days left? 2 days left.
Yeah, 2 days left. Well, remember that I mentioned the aspect of the theme for today, which is based upon, you know, where do they find themselves? Ultimately, what's the future of trade going to be looking like? Now, for tomorrow, they'll be looking at driving Commonwealth investment. That's the theme for the Thursday. And then on Friday, it'll be like a business-to-business engagement platform ultimately. But you'll also still nonetheless, once again, see not much activity in terms of what will be publicized to the rest of the world. This will be predominantly just about business site investments and the likes. So this is about connecting the markets of all these Commonwealth sectors with each other. Now, there has been another particular discussion of a similar level that has taken place on a global level, and that is the global south-to-south or the south-to-south cooperation. I have to point this out, Abby, that at the south-to-south cooperation discussion, which took place 2 weeks back, and this was held This wasn't held in New York, but it was in another part of the world where the South-to-South engagement took place. In that particular scenario, it has been identified that the global South-to-South can actually benefit a lot more from the economic and developmental agenda that the BRICS bloc is busy putting together. Now, you can obviously see what I'm mentioning is that I'm actually positioning two particular multilateral units, which is the Commonwealth Society as well as the BRICS Society, in terms of what they can actually mean or translate to the developing countries of the Global South, because the South to South discussion speaks predominantly of how can you leverage the particular developmental agendas that China, India, Russia, Brazil, and South Africa have introduced? And in the Commonwealth discussion, you are encouraged to rather everyone should be talking to each other. There is no clear scenario of, okay, so how do we work through more than 50 economies in terms of understanding who we can actually trade to and who we cannot? One of the details that Madam Wanja from the NIPDB outlined specifically, and obviously she showcased what Namibia offers, is Namibia offers its particular, you know, it's the run-of-the-mill presentation that she highlights, specifically who our largest trade partners are and ultimately how this is possible. Specifically, we've got the banking services, we've got the very well and maintained transport infrastructure, as well as also other particular accommodating infrastructure that assists in most of these particular positives or advantages that you outlined. And from there on, you can obviously see that these are some of the things that are being highlighted or promoted to the, if you can call it, the business sectors of these other Commonwealth countries.
Now, Dwight, what will Namibia benefit from hosting this Commonwealth Business Summit and trade ministers meeting?
Well, it's still early days, Happy, because like I told you, there were obviously closed-door sessions that took place back on Monday and on Tuesday. And obviously the main particular discussion that flows from this is obviously more broad-based about the Commonwealth itself, and it's not about what Namibia gets out of it. Even though you had the NCCI speaking there, that in the form of the NCCI leader, that being the Namibia Airports Company's chief executive, Mr. PC Uira, and then you also had Naloba's representative there. It wasn't Mr. I just want to get his name. It wasn't the designated speaker that was supposed to be there.
Just a scheduled commercial break that's coming up, but let's continue right after that.
Taking flights has never been easier. Piratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Piratus branch to find out more. Or go to piratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare,
Piratus. Dwight? Dwight Links? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so where we just left off was specifically that the representative Naloba ultimately was not the designated Mr. Erastus Shapumba, but slightly someone else. They also highlighted the aspects in terms of, you know, let's look at this integration and more exposure to international markets to ultimately help the local Namibian business communities ultimately generate the value, the potential that they are trying to look for, that they're trying to unlock. And then ultimately through that trade integration discussion, it ultimately will lead into they don't say what it would lead to, but rather that they want a more favorable trading scenario and ultimately to participate in global trade. And that obviously being through one of the avenues of one of the avenues being the Commonwealth trade platform. But like I said at the start, it's still early days. We've only heard of 3-4 Namibian representatives, that from the minister to the NIPDB chief executive, to the two business sector representatives. All of them have just highlighted specifically Namibia's particular role, the other connector being in terms of Namibia trying to play this, you know, because it's also in our international relations policy that Namibia is a friend to all. We are not out there to make enemies or to participate in some of the global, you know, warfare landscapes that are taking place as we are speaking. We are out there to work with everyone and to generate respectful relations, bilateral relations with everyone. The downside is just happy. When it comes to trade, things have to become a little bit more pragmatic because you're looking at currency, differences in currency values. You're looking at differences in time frames. You're looking at differences next in cultures and in languages, even though there's been a similarity outlined in terms of that we all have some aspect of law that comes from the British and even English that comes from the British, and we have to highlight what the Commonwealth actually represents. It is a representation of former British colonies, so you understand that there's a similarity somewhere that had been left and installed in all of these particular territories. And we ourselves are also not any, you know, any different because we speak English, so you form into that Commonwealth discussion even quicker. So in the early days, first day in discussions, so far they've only been having the panel discussions, but it is greatly based upon trade and how to enhance and speed up trade relations between all these countries.
Mm-hmm. Dwight, thank you so much for making time for us and breaking down about what's happening and what we could actually expect at the Commonwealth Business Summit.
Not a problem. Thank you very much, Abby.
Okay. And with that being said, let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace and return shortly with more news. Now, this is the news show where you can also hear your opinions and contributions. That is on 083-288-401.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
And welcome back. In other news, the Ministry of Health and Social Services has issued an alert following a suspected cholera outbreak in Opuwo in the Cunene region. Health officials are currently investigating the reported cases, all of which came from the same household, with efforts underway to confirm the presence of the disease and to manage any potential spread. The suspected cases are numbered at 5, with one unfortunately passing away. This suspected outbreak comes amid broader concern across the Southern African Development Community, or SADC, where multiple countries have reported cholera-related cases and fatalities in recent months. The ministry is urging residents in Opuwo and surrounding areas to remain vigilant, practicing proper hygiene, drinking safe water, and reporting symptoms early. Authorities are deploying health teams to the area and will continue to monitor and respond to the situation closely. Now, earlier, my colleague, Ndafa Habijuju, spoke to the Public Relations Officer of the Ministry of Health, Walters Kamaya, to get a sense of the ministry's perspective on this matter. Let's take a listen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Walters Kamaya, and welcome to On the Reading News Bulletin.
Good afternoon to you too.
I understand that the Ministry of Health and Social Services has issued an alert following a suspected cholera outbreak in Opuwo in the Cunene region. Kindly give us a highlight of exactly what transpired in regards to this.
Thank you very much. The Minister of Health and Social Services have detected some suspected cases in Opuwo district in the Cunene region, whereby they were all detected from one household. Eight of them, there are eight in total. Five have been confirmed to be positive, whereby one is still pending. So other than those ones which were detected from the same household, there are no other people who have presented themselves with suspected symptoms of cholera.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that, from that one household also, unfortunately, one life has been lost. Our people, our surveillance system or our surveillance team are on the ground to monitor the situation, as well as to give health education messages to the people in that community. However, the ministry is urging everybody to see to it that they should drink treated water or boiled water.
Mm-hmm.
We are encouraging members of the community to wash their hands with running water and soap. In a case where there is no soap, even ash, we can, the ash we can use
mm-hmm.
to wash our hands. Also, we encourage people to prepare healthy food or clean food, or also to keep their food parcels in a clean environment where they can close to protect or to see to it that the germs cannot get into their food. Also, we are still encouraging members of the community to wash their vegetables, to wash their fruits, before eating them. However, we also want to appeal to the nation not to panic, or before we appeal, we want to appeal also to the people not to panic
mm-hmm.
and to visit the nearest facilities should they experience some symptoms of cholera, such as the one that I have just mentioned now. So they also include vomiting, that when they feel those symptoms, they should not hesitate, but they should visit the nearest facilities for further attention. When it's diagnosed early or if it's picked well on time,
yeah.
it can be treated, and then that will avoid hospitalization as well as death. So for now, the ministry is monitoring the situation, and the situation is under control. There are no more further cases that has been presented from other households
mm-hmm.
except that one.
Okay. Mr. Kamaya, this cases that were presented from one household, are they perhaps related or are they from the same household of the lady who was reported to have tested positive for cholera a couple of months earlier this year?
No, those are different houses. That one was a recovered case. That case got recovered. But this one, we are talking of another household where they picked out those suspected cases.
Mm. Could it be that perhaps the transmission has already gone on to other households within the Kunene region? So what measures is the ministry putting in place to ensure that screening is done for the most part of the Kunene region and avoid spreading to other regions?
Yes, as a ministry, we are trying to strengthen our response mechanisms and activate all our surveillance systems. But like I have alluded earlier to say that there are no further cases, suspected cases that has presented to any of our facilities other than from that household. And then as a ministry also, our people who are on the ground, they are trying their level best to confine it and also to see to it that it's been attended to well, it doesn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
So as for now, we have not yet received any reports of spread.
Okay. Now, there have been broader concern across the Southern Africa development community where multiple countries have reported cholera-related cases and fatalities in recent months. Is Namibia prepared to tackle this head-on should anything, should it be coming up with a high number of cases?
Yes, as a ministry, we are prepared because this one is just, we are saying we are just strengthening our existing system to be able to respond to the need that it has just arisen. The ministry, we have attended to cholera cases like the one we have alluded to, which managed to recover. So as a ministry also, we are monitoring the situation in two other countries. To see to it that if it hits the shores, if it hits the borders of Namibia, how is the ministry prepared to face it and be able to treat it? So the ministry is fully aware and monitoring the situation.
Okay. What are the safety protocols for treating cholera cases?
The safety, we are saying people should drink clean water. It's just to have basic hygiene practices. So people are encouraged to wash their hands regularly, especially for ladies or for anybody, especially after changing the diapers or just after touching the surfaces. So one is encouraged to wash their hands with water, running water and soap.
Mm-hmm.
In an area where people, they are saying getting soap is a challenge, even the ash, just use ash and then you wash your hands. The other issue also, when nature calls, see to it that afterwards, please do cover up those the remains that one has left. Don't leave it open because you discover that the germs can come from there and come and attack you. Then the other issue also, when nature calls, we are encouraging members of the public, for those who are using nature, to go a bit far from the living areas to prevent the germs from not getting to them. Another issue also, after whenever we have done something, be it raking, be it working in our field, be it doing what, we should see to it that we do wash our hands.
Okay. Mr. Walter Skamaya, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
It was my pleasure to have you on the platform.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, let's make room for a commercial break, but we'll be back before you know it, so stay right here, only on the radar.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka, okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange, tashia kengeshefa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, monika ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko, berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's
081-410-9077. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. It's Wednesday, and that means the latest edition of our e-paper is out now. Get your copy and read the latest economic news and more. Today's e-paper covers the following headlines. Zimbabwe to ban lithium exports starting January 2027. Repo rate expected to remain unchanged. The NAB encourages focus on winter vegetables. The IEA stresses energy efficiency through commitments from world governments. And finally, Nedbank gives back through sport. Stay informed. Subscribe to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel and receive a tri-weekly dose of economic, social, and community news absolutely free. Just send a message to 081-200-4144 and never miss an update. Eagle Media House, keeping Namibia informed. Now, on to some international news. Tensions in the Middle East are rapidly escalating as the US President Donald Trump has issued a stark warning to Iran, demanding the country's unconditional surrender. In a post on his social media platform, Truth Social, Mr. Trump claimed that the United States knows the location of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, calling him an easy target. While stating that the U.S. is not planning to eliminate the supreme leader, at least for now, the president also warned that American patience is wearing thin. His comments come as the U.S. warplanes continue heading towards the Middle East, and amid growing speculation that Washington may soon join Israel in its military campaign against Iran. The conflict began 5 days ago when Israeli forces launched attacks on Israeli forces launched attacks on Iranian nuclear sites, stating that the goal was to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. Many of these sites are buried deep underground, and analysts say only the U.S. possesses the weapons capable of striking them effectively. In Iran, panic is growing. Millions have been fleeing the capital, Tehran, with major roads gridlocked following reports of fresh explosions. Meanwhile, Iranian authorities have issued warnings to Israeli citizens to evacuate the cities of Tel Aviv and Haifa, signaling a possible widening of the conflict. Now, let's take a listen.
President Trump has called on Iran for unconditional surrender. In a flurry of posts on his social media this afternoon, Donald Trump called Iran's supreme leader an easy target, but said that the U.S. was not going to kill him, at least not yet. U.S. fighter jets are understood to be on their way to the Middle East as speculation grows that the U.S. could become directly involved in the war between Israel and Iran. Tonight, Donald Trump has met his national security team to decide America's next move. Well, this is Tel Aviv tonight. Iran has fired more missiles into Israel, but there are no reports so far of any impacts. As millions flee Tehran today, we will ask if the U.S. is about to get involved in the war and whether the regime in Iran could be about to fall. But first, here's Tom Bateman with the latest from Washington.
Donald Trump's nighttime dash back to Washington unleashed more uncertainty on a region at war and a frenzy of questions asked at 40,000 feet. First, what about French President Macron's remark about an Israel-Iran ceasefire plan?
We're looking at it better than ceasefire. We're not looking for a ceasefire. I didn't say I was looking for a ceasefire. That was Emmanuel, nice guy, but he doesn't get it right too often. But we're looking for better than a ceasefire.
The president then turned to an ultimatum for Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, saying he was an easy target. We're not going to take him out, kill, at least not for now, he posted. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. In another post, Mr. Trump said he expected unconditional surrender. The US is already helping Israel shoot down incoming missiles as Iran retaliates to Israel's attacks. But so far, Washington has said its role is limited to that. Mr. Trump has veered between threats to Tehran and highlighting that the US isn't involved. But today's sudden shift has led to mounting speculation over what's coming next. Over the past 3 days, at least 30 US military planes have been moved from bases in America to Europe. They're all KC-135 tanker aircraft used to refuel fighter jets and bombers. These pictures taken in Suffolk today appear to show an aerial refueling tanker accompanied by 4 fighter jets. One military expert told the BBC the flights were highly unusual and suggestive of contingency plans to support intensive combat operations in the Middle East. US officials are keeping their options open.
We believe that Iran, as President has said from the beginning, should not have a nuclear weapon. That position hasn't changed. They can give it up peacefully. That position hasn't changed. And as a result, right now, we've got assets in the region and we're going to defend them.
Israel wants these to join in its strikes. American B-2 stealth bombers, planes it doesn't have. These could be used to strike Iran's uranium enrichment site at Fordo. Hidden deep underground, it has long been a key target for the Israelis. But only the US is thought to have the bomb needed, the massive ordnance penetrator, to destroy it. A factor that has added to the pressure Israel's leader has put on the president. But Mr. Trump has also been pushing his desire for a deal with Iran. He still said he hasn't ruled out sending his envoy Steve Witkoff to meet the Iranians. How much of this maneuvering is meant to force Tehran's hand as opposed to a planned US action is so far known only to Mr. Trump and his closest advisers. But as the world waits, America's military might is on the move. Tom Bateman, BBC News, Washington.
Let's speak to our North America editor, Sarah Smith, at the White House. So could the United States be about to get directly involved in this war?
Well, after a meeting with his top advisors in the Situation Room that lasted almost an hour and a half this afternoon and broke up recently, U.S. officials are saying that Donald Trump is considering joining Israel in those attacks on Iranian nuclear sites. But it's pretty clear his top advisors are not agreed upon this. And there are, of course, lots of reasons for America not to get involved in this. They could easily get dragged into a wider conflict in the Middle East, which is absolutely the last thing Donald Trump wants to get involved in. Remember, he campaigned for election saying that he would put America first and not get involved in any foreign wars. That was a very popular message. And some of his most vocal supporters in Congress are also urging him not to do this. But there's one thing Donald Trump has always been absolutely consistent about and absolutely unequivocal on, and that is him saying Iran cannot have nuclear weapons. And he is said to believe that they are now very close to achieving that, so he could be talked into taking some kind of action, possibly. He had wanted to do a deal with Iran to stop them from developing nuclear weapons, and there were negotiations and talks about that. Because remember, Donald Trump sees himself as a deal maker supreme, and he likes to look at himself as a peacemaker as well. But he set a 60-day deadline on those talks, and that deadline came and went last week without any kind of agreement. So now he is deeply concerned that Iran are not serious about doing a deal, that they have just been stringing him along. So although he might return to negotiations if they offered it, he will feel his hand is much strengthened if there is then a credible threat of military action coming from the United States as well as from Israel.
Sarah Smith, thank you. Well, Israel launched its first strikes on Iran 5 days ago on Friday in what it described as a preemptive offensive to neutralize Iran's nuclear program. Targets included nuclear facilities at Isfahan, Natanz and Arak. Oil depots and gas refineries across the country have also been targeted, and air defense systems, military bases and missile launch sites have been struck. Well, the BBC is not allowed to broadcast from inside Iran, but our colleagues in BBC Persian are keeping across the situation there. Siavash Arlan has this report.
Evacuating a city of 10 million is no easy task. Even before President Trump's evacuation warning, millions were fleeing the Iranian capital. Now the roads out of Tehran are choked with traffic. Scenes reminiscent of bank holidays, but this is a desperate goodbye. On the road, this driver comes across these men. Confused at first, he realized they are addicts who have fled a rehab center damaged by the attacks.
Wow.
Back in Tehran, the subway, normally bustling with commuters, rarely looks like this. One Tehran resident who wishes to remain anonymous told us why he is staying.
Even though I hate the Islamic Republic, I'm staying in my home. I'm staying in my city. I'll try to stick to my routines. I'll try to find a cafe that's open and go there. If I see a couple people on the street, I'll smile at them, try to lift their spirits. I'll call my friends more often, support them, make them feel better. I think right now we have no one but each other, not Benjamin Netanyahu and not Israel. They certainly don't care about us, and neither does the Islamic Republic.
For those who chose to stay, using essential services can be challenging. Israeli strikes damaged water installations in affluent northern Tehran, while ATMs ran out of cash. And these are the studios of Iranian state TV. This is not just bombardments and missile attacks. Iran is fighting the enemy on its own soil. Israel has been infiltrating the country at all levels. Car bombs have been detonating, and the Iranian intelligence says it has discovered a number of enemy drone factories inside the country. And civilians are paying the price. This is Tehran's Red Crescent, desperately hoping to find survivors under the rubble. Among the lost are nurses, skaters, artists, lives cut short.
Buildings are being attacked at a residential...
Our colleague pressed Israel's UN ambassador on civilian casualties.
We will do everything we can to minimize civilian casualties, but as you said, you know, it's a war, and we have seen what happened in our cities, so we will continue to target the military sites in Iran.
Few in Washington and Tel Aviv are talking publicly about what happens if the regime collapses. Iranians have been documenting how their lives are changing. President Trump said he wants to see their country prosper. Fewer will be willing to believe him today than they were just 5 days ago.
And with that, let's take a quick trip to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
Lipura nenge no wapuwa eva tere ulikoni mando tuto ingida kashike kapenu mweko tete okoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho otike ko vanu ile ko shiwana konu ngeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya ko vanu okupitida mo igele fm otuna evi toda njuka okupitida oipingi konu konda doi nawa minuto okupitida o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudei kayo loka okonu ushendife nawa nukumu apoijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko igele fm onora ikatime bali hea vi nola natu heari bali no heari ineko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu atatu oma filane igele fm ai ai.
And welcome back. Eagle FM is everywhere, always on, always accessible. Whether you're commuting, working, or relaxing at home, simply plug in your earphones, pardon me, and stay informed with minimal inconvenience. Our platform delivers real-time news and analysis straight to your phone, keeping you in the know wherever you are. In partnership with our sister ePaper, we provide concise, expert summaries of Namibia's latest business, economic, and policy developments delivered digitally every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's your essential brief to start the week informed and stay ahead. Looking to grow your business reach? Our complimentary apps, including Imba and Eagle FM app, offer targeted opportunities for companies to increase visibility of their products and services across a wide spectrum of consumers, from urban professionals to rural communities. And let's not forget, our social media platforms are among the most active in the country, giving brands, startups, and individuals the perfect space to amplify their visibility and connect with engaged audiences in real time. Eagle FM, where your voice, your story, and your business are always on the radar. And now we go to trading economics with our economic indicators, where today, $1 will cost you 18.02 Namibian dollars. €1 will cost you 20.64 Namibian dollars. £1 will cost you 23.98 Namibian dollars. €1 will cost you 0.12 Namibian cents. €1 will give you $2.48 Namibian cents. One Australian dollar will give you $11.59, and one Swiss franc will give you $21.82. Now, in our foreign exchange updates, our top currency gainers for the day are South Korean won at 0.86%, Australian dollar at 0.39%, the New Zealand dollar at 0.03%, the euro at 0.19%, British pound at 0.08%, and the Japanese yen at 0.18%. Whereas the biggest losers are the dollar index at minus 0.16%. Now, in the Asian foreign exchange market, the top currency gainers are the South Korean won at 0.72%, the Indonesian rupiah at 0.25%, the Chinese yuan at 0.04%, and the Japanese yen at 0.06%. In cryptocurrency, the Bitcoin and Ether are experiencing declines, with Bitcoin slipping to minus 2.01%. In your agricultural commodities, your top commodity losers are orange juice at minus 3.86%, sugar at minus 3.46%, and coffee at minus 2.96%, whereas the gains are led by wheat at 2.29% and rapeseed at 0.67%. In your metal commodities, your top commodity gainers are silver at 2.22% and platinum at 1.76% and gold at 0.18%. In your energy commodities, your top commodity gainers are crude oil WTI at 5.21%, Brent crude oil at 5.09%, and natural gas UKGBT at 3.95%. Your biggest losers are methanol at minus 2.80% and uranium at minus 2.23%. In other news, the Swiss Riksbank cut its policy rate by 25 BPS to 2% in June, in line with expectations as the country's economic recovery slows and inflation eases. Recent data shows weaker growth and persistently high unemployment, while inflation has aligned with previous forecasts but is expected to fall slightly below earlier projections due to weaker demand. The rate cut aims to stabilize inflation at targeted and support the economy. The central bank also signaled a possibility of another cut later this year. Global uncertainty, driven by trade tensions and the escalating Middle East conflict, continues to weigh on the outlook. Although financial markets have calmed somewhat and some tariffs may be lower than previously anticipated, geopolitical risks remain high. In other news, the United Kingdom's annual core inflation rate has eased to 3.5% in May 2025 from a one-year high of 3.8% in the previous month, slightly below the market forecasts of 3.6%. The slowdown was mainly driven by a slowdown in the CPI service rates, that being 4.7% versus 5.4% in April, as the CPI goods rate accelerated, that being 2.0% versus 1.7%. On a monthly basis, core consumer prices rose by 0.2%, in line with estimates and sharply down from April's 1.4% surge. It was also the softest monthly increase in 4 months, suggesting some easing in underlying inflation pressures. And now we'll take a short commercial break, but do stretch your legs, grab some water, and we'll be right back with more stories that matter. Stay with us.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device,
you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3-month subscription, 10% discount for 6-month subscription, and 25% discount for 12-month subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura ninge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni mandu tuto ingida ashike kapenu huku tete okowe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike eko vano ile koshuwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pungwa kukaraya ko vano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otina evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nyawa. Minuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Otomu ushengi fenawa nokumuna oijamweli nyawa. Ninge pata fanoana monika ko Eagle FM. Ondora itatimwe mbali hea vi nola natu. Heari bali no heari ineko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back, and now for a special message from our friends at USave. Get to a USave, your low-budget grocery store, where good food costs less. And get 100 grams of Nescafe coffee instant coffee for only $34.99 or 10 Tagless 5 Roses tea bags at only $9.99, 1 liter full cream Namibian fresh milk at $18.99, 500 milliliters of Rietfontein Oshigandela at only $17.99, and 6 200 milliliter boxes of Rhodes 40% fruit juice blend to enjoy at just $44.99. You save, we save, we all save at You Save. And now in international news, the Eastern Cape floods have taken more than just people's lives. It's taken people's livelihoods. And this is the idea that the Minister of Human Settlements said during her visit to the Eastern Cape. Let's take a listen.
Human Settlements Minister Thembi Simelane is on a 3-day oversight visit to the Eastern Cape following last week's deadly floods. She says national government will go the extra mile to help families affected by the tragedy. The minister adds that pathologists had almost completed their work and are about to release bodies to their bereaved loved ones. 90 people have so far died and more than 1,000 homes and structures are completely destroyed.
The municipality has moved swiftly to identify land together with the locals, particularly for the families that have been affected and their houses have been washed away, and they are closer into the dam and the stream, which it will not be advisable in our view that they build again in that area, we will be relocating them. Our team are on site assessing that area, and we will then begin after they have been given an opportunity to bury their loved ones, discussions and engagement into making them understand that it is important that they move into a much safer area where government can then be able to give a permanent solution. It's quite, in fact, it's quite a tragedy, a huge one that the province of the Eastern Cape is facing. But all government teams, about 9 streams, are physically here, from health, education, home affairs, ourselves, SASA, including civil society like Gift of the Givers and all. So they are providing meals, we are providing accommodation, they are providing education, transportation, and everything that is needed in the form of the disaster. Our emergency team are still, as you can see on site, the technical team from KSD is still also making sure that it's clearing the rubble, it's recovering whatever could be recoverable for our families. Engagements have started with the bereaved. Almost we are ready as government, as the families get to settle down and get themselves ready. Pathologic forensics are almost done with all the necessary work. Bodies has been released to the loved ones. They are busy with preparations. I think we're remaining with about 10 or so paperwork for family members with regard to home affairs, which is also on site. Actually expect a temporary a truck where all the paperwork for children and family members are being done.
Still in South Africa, we're talking about Global Peace Index. Prospect for further conflicts is high.
Yes, well, unfortunately, but perhaps unsurprisingly, the key findings this year are grim. This is the sixth consecutive year that global peacefulness has deteriorated. And indeed, global peacefulness has deteriorated for 13 of the past 17 years. And the major driver of that has been the increase in conflict that we've seen all across the world. So we currently have 61 active state-based conflicts. And in 2024, there were 17 countries which recorded over 1,000 deaths from conflict. So obviously, there's been a lot of focus on what's happening in Gaza and now in Iran. But really, the conflict is it's really global. It's widespread. Almost every continent is touched by this. And I think that the second key finding from the report is, as you alluded to, the rise in geopolitical fragmentation. So you have a look at the competition between great powers. You have the U.S. looking to reposition itself in the world, being more inward.
Let's pause here to make room for a scheduled commercial break. We'll be back shortly.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2 o'clock to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2 o'clock. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Focus. And then you have the rise of middle power countries. So these are countries which have particularly strong influence in their region. So looking at countries like India, Turkey, Brazil, Australia, South Africa, exerting more influence as the sort of traditional global order begins to become less effective and break down. So those are the two key findings from the report this year.
Okay, now global peace is at its lowest level since the inception of this index. Some of the major factors, I mean, we see reports of conflicts here on our continent in Africa, the Middle East currently, Iran and Israel. Why is this? I mean, why is a rise in conflicts?
I think there's no particular single factor that you can pinpoint that's driving conflict in all these different places. I mean, what we've seen in Africa, for example, is that you've had a lot of smaller conflicts which would have had a relatively low level of activity a decade ago have become enfolded into broader transnational conflicts. So you look at an area like the Central Sahel, for example. There you have smaller ethnic conflicts 10 years ago, which then have become part of a broader These groups becoming part of broader transnational terrorist groups. You have factors related to climate, so climate insecurity, ecological threats driving conflict.
Meanwhile, Zambia has been picked for livestock genetic study.
The technical staff in the Ministry of Fisheries and Livestock who have gathered here to enhance their capacity so they effectively conduct animal resource data collection and management to enable monitoring and tracking of breed population in the country. Officiating at the National Capacity Building Workshop at Protea Hotel in Lusaka, Acting Fisheries and Livestock Director Bonwe Mpeyo, who represented Acting Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Fisheries and Livestock, Frederick Miller, says Zambia is among the four picked African countries to conduct data collection and management of animal genetic resources.
The Zambian government continues to make relentless efforts to promote initiatives and programs which will intend to better the livelihoods of the rural communities through enhanced livestock production. In line with the 8th National Development Plan, the government led by President Hailemariam Desalegn is determined to ensure that smallholder livestock investment becomes Zambia's main driver of the National Economic Diversification Program and a gateway to economic empowerment for our rural citizens.
Meanwhile, African Union Inter-African Bureau for Animal Resources, Animal Genetics Resource Coordinator Mary Karaoke, says her organization remains committed to provide unwavering support.
The main objective of this workshop is therefore to enhance the capacity of technical staff in Zambia to effectively conduct animal resource data collection and management. This will enable Zambia to monitor and track the trends of population, breed populations. The country will be able to monitor changes in risk status in its breeds and take necessary remedial action.
The Data Collection and Management of Animal Genetic Resources Program in Zambia is being implemented by the Zambian government in partnership with the African Union Inter-African Bureau for Animal Resources and the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO. I am Mufto Banda, reporting in Lusaka.
Meanwhile, the government of Uganda has been tasked to support youth to take on farming businesses.
Please answer the youth. I could see the investors were hesitant. Agriculture is risky. Amid this climate change and failed weather conditions, but we are putting up policies to mitigate these. Make sure you incorporate risk in your investment. And government policies we are formulating across Africa through CADAP agenda take care of these concerns.
And this generation, which is the generation now, does not need our permission. They need our partnership. They know they don't need condescension. They need capital that is patient, that is long-term, that is willing to take the risk to see the innovations grow into sustainable, locally led solutions. They need policies that are enabling. They need platforms that simplify their voices, amplify their voices and connect them to markets. So today, I invite you to go beyond the applause. I invite you to think about action. Let us together commit to co-investing in this movement. The payoff is going to be enormous. We know this.
On the Africa Energy Forum, Africa is set to address energy deficiency.
Cape Town, South Africa, which is a major event for the very first time. Now, the 2025 theme, which focuses on Africa United, is also amplifying Africa's collective energy ambitions and is sending a clear message to the world that Africa knows what it needs and is ready to lead its own energy future. Now, the Energy Forum is bringing together global leaders and innovators to discuss the continent's power future. Our reporter Kelly Boss with more.
Well, we are the Africa Energy Forum in Cape Town, South Africa. And it's the very first time this forum comes to South Africa in its 27 years of existence. Now, this year's forum is themed Africa United, where African countries are coming together to, you know, align with their mission and, you know, vision about energy. And so today I was about to break down what we are going to talk about in the whole week, or cover in the whole week, or the guys who are setting up in this particular forum. But I have Abdullahi here, who is going to help me, you know, unpack what is in the event. What is this event about in terms of, you know, sustainable solutions in energy? We have a lot of innovative solutions, especially in the edge of AI, where most of the energy is going towards, you know, data centers and stuff like those. Mm-hmm. So we need to have sustainable energy solutions. With me here is Sila Abdullahi, who is the portfolio.
As you said, the AEF is now in its 27th year, and we're so excited to come back on the continent. Yeah. We've done Mauritius before, and then we did Nairobi.
United Block. And yeah, one of the people that feature mostly here is ministries. Yeah. So ministry from South Africa and many other countries from Africa. Mm. And one of the things that we still have a disparity on is that a huge chunk of Africa is not yet, does not access energy yet.
Yes.
Is that part of the discussion?
Absolutely. There is about 600 million people that still doesn't have access to energy, and that's a massive challenge. That's why programs such as the M300 that are being put in place by the World Bank, FDB, IFC, you know, Rockefeller Foundation, those are initiatives we encourage. However, they've been such initiative in terms of theory. So we want to put it in practice now. How does that look? How does the youth as well are going to benefit from that tomorrow? What are the leaders? We like to challenge those. At AEF, you can have sessions where we're challenging those leaders to tell us exactly how those are going to take place.
Right now, energy has tapped into innovation. Mm-hmm. So we see the likes of Huawei around, we see the likes of Rocket Absolutely. Energy and everything.
Absolutely.
Where does technology and energy overlap each other?
So that's a really good point, because country like Ghana now, instead of having, you know, human resources outside of Africa, we can see countries like Ghana that are very technology advanced. Mm-hmm. Having those youth that have been really having a good formation, like to grow up, they're having the formation necessary, the studies that they're doing in order for that industry to go forward. But you've mentioned, you know, AI. AI will play a massive role. So data centers now are going to be part of the large energy consumers. So therefore, having data centers, mining companies, those large energy consumers, the role of AI into making those sustainable will be crucial. So we are proud to be hosting it in Cape Town, and next year having it in Dubai.
US visa ban.
Actually, that from
hampering students' dreams.
Life. He wants young people in Sierra Leone. Hussein Thomas has been planning for a journey that could change his life. He wants to study in the U.S., but a U.S. partial ban on Sierra Leone could hinder that dream.
As a student and somebody that loves America, it saddens my heart to know that the U.S. government has put a partial ban on students, because as somebody that would love to further his education, I believe that America is a great opportunity for me, because it's the land of opportunities, and I would love to go there to study, to further my education. And with this partial ban, I don't know if it's going to be possible anymore. So I ask that the U.S. government and the U.S. president rethink, and hopefully they can lift the ban.
Sierra Leone is in a category of 7 countries facing the partial ban, including Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela.
The U.S. says that the visa halt is in response to Sierra Leone's refusal to accept deportees and high visa overstay numbers, but those that are paying the price are not the ones who overstayed.
The visa restrictions will block access to immigrant visas and key non-immigrant categories, including B1, B2, tourism and business, FM and J student and exchange visas.
The student exchange is probably by far the hardest hit, and I feel sorry for that.
sitting out here, I'm a beneficiary. I was lucky enough to go to the United States to further my education. And it's not only gave me world-class education, just like my other brothers and sisters or other young men and women hoping to go there, but it gave me access to other cultures around the world. As America is a melting pot, you meet people from all over the world.
Hussein continues to look for more opportunities to fulfill his dreams.
Well, I just want to say to every student out there and somebody that, and anybody that has a dream, do not give up on your dream, because this band does not determine whether you're going to be successful or not.
Iran's supreme leader says he will never compromise with Israel.
Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei says Iran will never compromise as Israel and Iran continues to trade strikes. It comes as US President Donald Trump called for Iran's leaders to unconditionally surrender. Posting on his social media platform Truth Social, President Trump said the US knows where the Supreme Leader is, but they are not going to kill him, at least not yet. Our North America correspondent Jake Kwon has this report.
President Donald Trump is considering whether the U.S. should get directly involved in the war against Iran, a question that may define his presidency. He rushed back to Washington, leaving the G7 meeting a day early. The French President Emmanuel Macron tried to explain the sudden exit, wishfully suggesting it was to negotiate a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. That's not it, President Trump said. In fact, there is something bigger in the works.
We're not looking for a ceasefire. I didn't say I was looking for a ceasefire. That was Emmanuel, nice guy, but he doesn't get it right too often. But we're looking for better than a ceasefire.
What specifically is better than a ceasefire? What are you looking for here?
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end.
Americans have been helping Israel shoot down Iranian missiles, but resisted joining the attack. But in an emergency meeting at the White House yesterday, he discussed striking deeply buried Iranian nuclear sites, like the one at Fordo that Israeli bombs cannot reach. The meeting also came with a flurry of social media posts, each more aggressive than the last. In this post, he said, "We know where the so-called supreme leader is hiding, but we are not going to take him out, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers." Next one simply says, "Unconditional surrender." Iran's supreme leader remained defiant. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei wrote on social media, "Iran will never compromise with Zionists, and we will show the Zionists no mercy." And in another post, he wrote, "The battle begins." Americans have been moving its fighter jets to the Middle East, as well as moving to Europe dozens of tanker aircrafts used to refuel fighter jets and bombers.
They should have done the deal. I told them, do the deal. So I don't know, I'm not too much in a mood to negotiate.
It's unclear how much of this is stepping up to fight or the art of the deal. But President Trump appears to have lost his taste for diplomacy. It's quite a turn for a president who promised no new war on his watch. Jake Kwon, BBC News, Washington.
Well, Mohammed Taha is our correspondent with BBC Arabic and has been following the developments in the region for us.
This is the day six in this unprecedented war in the Middle East. Overnight, there were strikes from Iran on Tel Aviv. We have these two cities, big cities in the Middle East, Tehran and Tel Aviv, nearly on hold because of these strikes. Around 30 missiles from Iran to Israel in 20 minutes. We don't know exactly what have been hit, but we heard that at least an automotive factory was hit in the area of Tel Aviv. Israel does not announce exactly what's been hit.
And in terms of the latest on Tehran itself and the damage there, of course, this time yesterday we were talking about President Trump posting on social media that everyone in Tehran should evacuate.
Yeah, this is shocking as well. As you mentioned, the evacuation, the Israeli army issued an evacuation order at 2:30 a.m. Tehran time to quarter number 18, is a residential area. Two half two in the morning. At three, the Israel aeroplane hit that quarter, which is astonishing to see a warning being issued at that early time of the day. We understand also that the Israeli aeroplane hit the Imam Hussein University, that is including a nuclear physics faculty and an aviation engineering faculty as well.
Mohammed Taha there. Well, I also talked to Niamat Ibrahimi, who's from the University of Melbourne. I asked for his assessment on what the U.S. might do next.
You know, the sixth day of war, which was quite unexpected in many levels, there are many things we really do not know. The details of the planning for the attack and in terms of how it is unfolding, because there are severe restrictions on freedom of information and reporting in Iran. There are also similar restrictions in Israel. However, we do know that there are some important aspects of this war. One, that this is, I think, another incidence of a major power attacking another power, you know, another state-to-state conflict, which is not sending a good signal for international peace and security. And Israelis are citing that the reason is that they are preempting a future development of nuclear weapons by Iran. However, this is going against many of the reports of international agencies, including IAEA. And in fact, U.S. intelligence agencies have been reporting that Iran, even though they had, were enriching the uranium to a significant level, but they were not, you know, getting any close to developing weapons of mass destruction in the nuclear weapons. So now I think, you know, Iran has very limited options. There are significant disparities in terms of military capabilities and power between Iran and Israel, especially if the United States also join in the confrontation against Iran. And the Iranian regime has tried to fight back. And as you reported, the Iranian Supreme Leader Khamenei has said that they are escalating. But we really don't know much in terms of how far they can go in terms of escalating and fighting back, and how far they can sustain that level of confrontation with both Israel and the United States if they also join the war.
And with that being said, we have now officially come to the closing after this episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. To stay tuned for the Onkona Ndingi program with Benedict Simon and Patemoshila Lukolo. From Indafa, happy Juju.
And Sean Jordan Twisip.
It's goodbye. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, for another episode of On the Radar.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipuranenge no wapungwa eva tere urikoni mandu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nuko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatimwe mbali hea di nola natu hea di bali no hea ile ko derewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.